This man has done nothing wrong. This is the King of the Jews, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In the time of the Roman Empire, when a person was crucified, usually it was a male, above their head would be written the charge. There would be a sign, a placard to tell you what it was that they were being put to death for. And in the case of Jesus, as that criminal said, this man has done nothing wrong. But the accusation that Pilate made against him was that he was the King of the Jews, and this is the reason that he was being put to death. The crowd shouted out their accusations against Jesus earlier in this 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There they say that he was leading the people astray, that he was inciting revolution, and he was telling people not to pay their taxes. Of course, all of them were false. Jesus was not leading astray, he was healing. He was giving hope, he was nourishing the life of a people who were desperate for someone to save them, someone to bring them hope. He was effectively silent on the question of taxation. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And of course, when someone did claim him as the king, as the Messiah, he would always command them to silence because he knew that the crowd would get it wrong. When we celebrate Palm Sunday, it's a day of such mixed emotions. We begin in such jubilation and celebration, joining the crowd as they welcome the Messiah to come into the city of Jerusalem, to come and take possession, just like David did when he came and all the crowds danced and rejoiced when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city of Jerusalem, when he claimed the city for the kingdom of God, when he claimed the city for the sovereignty of all those who wanted to worship the Lord. And we echo that today in the jubilation and the songs of Hosanna as we sing them out and cry out the presence of the Lord coming in our midst as Jesus himself takes the place of the ark as that true sign of the presence of God. And then so quickly, almost astonishingly quickly, the liturgy turns and twists and then suddenly we're brought into the depths of despair as we're left there wondering, how could this happen? How could human hearts be so fickle that in the space of just 5 days they can turn against this man that they've just acclaimed and reverenced? The one that, as Jesus says, if the crowds did not cry out, then the rocks themselves would sing out the worship and glory of the Messiah. But here, he is alone, suffering, tormented. And there on the cross, he's dying between two criminals, two rebels, two people who had raised themselves against the might of the Roman Empire, two people who did deserve to die for what they had done. But Jesus had done nothing wrong. And in the midst of that exchange, Jesus reminded us of all of those times across the Gospels, all of those times across his public ministry when he was there with sinners, when he would eat with them, when he would mix with them, when he would allow them to be part of the most intimate times of his life. And he was there giving himself and identifying himself with sinners, identifying himself with us, with my sin, with your sin. Sometimes as a Christian church, we kind of imagine what the worst sins are. We kind of think, well, the truly bad people, the truly, you know, those horrible sinners, the murderers, the adulterers, the terrorists. We claim all of these sins. Maybe if we're a bit more leftward leaning, we say it's the people who destroy the environment. It's the people who are homophobic. It's the people who are trying to tear down our world. But that's just being the crowd and scapegoating. The way of Christ, the way of the cross, is to realize that the reason Jesus is there, the reason that Jesus is opening his arms and crying out, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, is not for somebody else. It's for me. It's my sin. It's my guilt. It's my curse that Christ is identifying with and claiming and suffering through. This week, as we move into this most amazing Holy Week, we have a chance to reverence the cross. And I invite you to hold the cross this week, literally, physically, to grasp a crucifix and to pray before it. Allow Christ on the cross to be for you a sign of freedom, a sign of new life. Take the time to read again through the Passion narrative that we've just read. Read again from chapter 22 and chapter 23 of the Gospel of Luke. Allow those words to be for you a sign of hope, a sign of truth, a sign of conviction, a sign to remind us that it's for my sin that Christ died on the cross.